Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello, I'm Sophie Ellis-Bextor, and welcome to Spinning Plates, the podcast where I speak to busy working women who also happen to be mothers about how they make it work. I'm a singer, and I've released 7 albums in between having my 5 sons aged 16 months to 16 years, so I spin a few plates myself. Being a mother can be the most amazing thing, can also be hard to find time for yourself and your own ambitions. I want to be a bit nosy and see how other people balance everything. Welcome to Spinning Plates.
Yo, hello, it's me and it's you. And this is Spinning Plates. And well, I've really been living the life today. The plates have been spinning. I brought an album out a week ago, Hannah, album number 7. And I've been spending the time either promoting the record, which has actually been a lot of fun, or home here with the kids doing kid things and organising parent-teacher meetings and doctor's appointments and all sorts of stuff like that. Excuse me, sorry. I've got a bit of a cough because I'm trying to... Sorry, this is really middle-aged. I got some shoes the other day and I love them, but they're a little bit tight and I tried the next size up, too big. So I'm going to, I'm trying to stretch them. So I bought like these sort of wooden shoe stretcher things and some spray, and the spray has really caught in my throat. So it's sort of, well, basically it's made my throat feel smaller. So I hope it doesn't make my shoes feel smaller. Maybe the spray is to bring them in, not stretch them out. Anyway, so Richard's been away this week. So it's been very much kind of one end of the spectrum to the other. So, for example, yesterday Richard and I did some DJing. We went to bed, finished at 12:30, was home by about 1:15, couldn't sleep, so I fell asleep at 2:30 and then was up at 7 to get the kids up for school. And I just feel a bit like, come on. And then today the album charted and it's gone in at 8, which is absolutely flipping amazing, actually. So I'm super chuffed to have, you know, this album have done so well, and everybody who's been working on the project's been working really hard and had some lovely feedback. And how am I going to celebrate this momentous occasion? You know, this is my 4th top 10 album. Amazing. Well, I'm going on a school camping trip. Yes, I am currently looking at all their little clothes. I'm getting things together. I've just done one kid's clothes. I've got to do another kid's clothes. Downstairs, I've got an ice box I found in the attic. I'm putting in bits and bobs for the trip. It's a complete mess. I feel like I've only got an hour left before I have to go and pick them up from school. I am going to forget something, and that's how I'm spending my weekend. Well, almost, but not quite. It's a 2-night camping trip. Tonight, Richard and I are going with the kids, and tomorrow someone is going to come. Jessica, our au pair, is going to come take over from me and Richard so that we can go to Cambridge for a festival tomorrow night because the kids wanted to stay on at the campsite. Ta-da! That's the weekend. But it is beautiful weather here in London town today, and I'm feeling good. And boy, oh boy, have I got a wonderful guest for you today. So I'm sure I'm repeating myself here, but right from the beginning of doing this podcast, my intention was always to speak to some women who you might know already and then speak to some women that I can introduce you to. And I was always looking for exciting, interesting, crazy tales, you know? And not everybody is out there living, it's not all about people living charmed lives, it's not all about high achievers, even though we do feature lots of women who've like outdone themselves. They are incredible human beings. But some people I've spoken to, they're just doing something really interesting. I don't know, for example, by the way, I'm not diminishing that they're not achieving things. I just mean, it's the stories that I hope that I can entice you towards and the people behind it. So when I say that I'm thinking about Sylvia, who I spoke to, who had been burnt very badly when she was a child, and that really transformed her entire life. And she ended up showing extraordinary strength by completely embracing her body that for so long had been something that she felt held back by. I'm thinking of Amelia, who's the circus performer who finds herself now being a horse acrobat. Like, what an incredible life. And today, well, Anne Fish has got an amazing story. And I really enjoyed speaking to her. And like so many of my guests, she's got this incredible inner strength. Because actually, she's had to walk through the odd fire. She's got two boys who are now 18 and 22. I think I'm right. Very sadly, when her younger boy was only small, under a year old actually, her husband died. He had a very short experience with cancer. And sadly, that meant that he lost his life when Anne had only the second baby boy and very small baby. So that left her with an immense weight on her shoulders, you know, the responsibility of raising her boys, even though she was grieving, and also found herself unable to provide for them at times. Anyway, the reason I got in touch with her is because I was talking to my kids and I said, what job would it be interesting for a mum to be doing that I speak to? Like, what occupation would you be intrigued by? And one of them, I think it might have been Jesse actually, he's seven, he said gamer. And I thought, oh, actually, yeah. So I started doing a little bit of light research. And I stumbled across Anne's story and I absolutely loved it. So Anne's second son is known on YouTube as Benji Fish. He became a very successful Fortnite player. Bear with me, I will explain whatever these things are if you don't not familiar with them. So through Fortnite, he and his success at the challenges and competitions he was entering, you know, winning serious money here, Anne decided to manage him. He ended up stopping conventional school and being homeschooled so that he could continue his gaming because it's crazy hours, but he was being very successful at it. Anyway, present day, Benji, who's still living at home with his mum, he now has moved out of Fortnite. He doesn't do Fortnite anymore. He does other games. However, Anne has become something of a gamer herself and she now plays Fortnite and in fact has been signed by a Dubai-based esports company as one of their content providers. So this is a crazy story. Even more crazy, when I meet Anne, and, you know, no disrespect to gamers or non-gamers, but she does not strike you as somebody that you think is going to know her way around Fortnite. We went to find her on this beautiful little house on one of the little islands you get just off the Thames, and we're wandering around, like, trying to find the house. See through the window, this lady, she sat there with a blanket on her lap, a hot water bottle on her lap, and a game controller in her hand playing Fortnite. Just flipping brilliant. I love it. And she's really good at it, by the way. Does live streams, all that kind of thing. So what do you need to know for this? I think most of the stuff, even if you don't know the reference in terms of the gaming or the gamer, sorry about the drilling outside, by the way, you'll pick up what she's talking about. The only thing I think you might want to know about is what Fortnite is. I know what Fortnite is because my second one down, Kit, who's now 14, he got really into Fortnite. Fortnite is actually really good fun. I like it. Basically, you are a character. You can choose what your skin is. You can choose how you present in the game. You have a series of weapons, but they're done in a kind of cartoony way. So you might have a bazooka or a laser gun or things like this, or, I don't know, an axe or whatever. And you, basically, you are battling other people who are also in this game on this landscape. So you get dropped onto what is like a map. You run around, you try and eliminate your competitors, and the last person standing is the winner of that Fortnite battle. And my kids played it. Richard plays it with them sometimes. I actually like it. It also has elements of dance in there because the characters, you can buy little dances for them to do. Lots of musicians give their music to Fortnite. Marshmallow's done a gig in Fortnite. Ariana Grande's done a gig in Fortnite. It's a whole world out there. Anyway, sorry, I feel like I've kind of probably whipped around the head with a lot of information, but I wanted to set it up a little bit because I think it, you know, it's interesting to me that I like how I find some of my guests, basically, and I'm so thrilled that I found Anne and that she then said yes to talking to me, because I always love it when people can surprise you, and it reminds you, doesn't it, that you could be sat next to someone on the bus, in a cafe or whatever, and you can have a glance over and you think you know who that person is, and you just never flipping know. And the fact that Anne has not only embraced her love of gaming, is not only good at it, but she's also, it's actually given her more confidence and given her more friends, and sort of, I just think if Anne can do it, anybody can find access to that thing that just empowers them. Like, that's really special. For Anne, it's Fortnite. What's your thing? Anyway, I will leave you with Anne and I. I'm going to get back to finding the stuff for the camping trip. Wish me luck. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be meeting you.
Thank you for coming all the way down here.
Well, it's a beautiful part of the world you live in. But also, I think you're... story and what you're up to is absolutely amazing. I don't know if you realise quite how inspiring I find the fact that you've become a gamer yourself, but also you've obviously got this incredible bond with your boys.
Mm.
So why don't we start with the here and now. What are you up to at the moment?
At the moment, I am just busy playing Fortnite. So very exciting. I've actually, Epic Games has given me my own Creator Cup, which is actually tomorrow.
That's incredible.
On Friday the 17th. So I'm actually going to be playing with Benji and Mr. Savage. So I'm so excited because Benji is quit Fortnite. So he's retired and he's now playing Valorant. He's trying to become a pro in Valorant.
Okay.
So he's literally hasn't played Fortnite for months.
Yeah.
And so he's actually coming out of retirement to play with me and his old duo, Mr. Savage. So
just to give some context to retirement, how old is Benji? 18.
But no, retired from Fortnite.
Yes, I understand.
Not as a professional esports player. So his goal is to become a professional in Valorant. But no, so I am basically playing Fortnite most of the time as a content creator for Galaxy Racer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm signed with GXR and also trying to become a professional myself, pro esports player. But it is... it's a bit like it's still going to take like another 18 months to 2 years to achieve that, I reckon, from a skill level.
Okay.
So literally coming from someone that has never played a game before in my life, it's mm-hmm. not like, you know, most of the children nowadays, you know, you give them a phone at the age of two or three, you know, they're on there sort of like playing. They know exactly what to do.
Yeah.
They pick up a game. They can instantly play it.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm coming from a complete standing start. So although I've been playing from 2 years, it is like learning from scratch. So it's a slow process. So, So I'm putting in the same amount of hours that most pro esports players are doing. So I'm practicing for like 6 to 8 hours a day.
Wow.
On all the different like mechanics, aiming, all that sort of thing, as well as then doing my streaming and content creation sort of thing. So, and then managing Benji, traveling. We've just booked to go to San Diego. DreamHack's just announced a LAN event in San Diego, so we're going there in April and things. So yeah.
So what motivates you to want to take it to that level rather than just be someone that plays for fun? What's the shift?
I think we've discovered that I am very competitive. I am.
When you say
very,
we, you mean as a family?
No, probably the people that I play with generally, like my duo, my mods and everything. I'm probably Benji and Sarah. So it's not Benji's being a pro gamer that's necessarily inspired me to do this. It's I want to be the best.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can. So, yeah, I really want to prove that I can be up there and play at that level. At the moment, there's no way. I mean, people just, like, walk all over, run all over me. So what I have to do is use strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone thinks of Fortnite as very much, you know, obviously going there, frag out, sort of eliminate players, you know, sort of box. But there's actually a lot more strategy to it as well. So you've got to, like, do plan rotations, where you're going to land, you know, sort of. So I can do all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's, and then I've just got to get the mechanics and the aim and the everything up to the same level as that. And
yeah, no, because I mean, I actually understand a lot of what you're talking about. Mm. I don't know to what extent everybody listening would. So I have 5 children, and there's a lot of gaming that goes on in my house. And I think for me, it's absolutely no surprise, because Richard and I are both quite techie. I like games as well. I haven't really moved with the times, as in I have an actual Game Boy.
I don't mean
like a Nintendo Switch. I mean the original battery-powered, no backlight Game Boy that I travel with. I'm still in the sort of Tetris side of things.
Yeah.
Okay. But my kids play Fortnite and other games as well. On Sunday night, I couldn't find Richard, my husband, and he was playing Fortnite on his own. All the other kids were with me.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, the sound of the Fortnite game going off in that room is very familiar to me. I know what the map looks like. I know what the characters look like.
Mm.
I have got one connection to Fortnite, actually. It's my own. A while back, they did a Boogie Down challenge where everybody could enter a dance routine that would hopefully, if they won, be turned into an emote.
Oh, all right, okay.
So the little dance routines, you can see on screen. And so I did a little dance that I filmed and entered. And I think they took slight pity on me, because out of the people that entered, I think being a sort of, I think at the time I was probably in my late 30s, wearing a sequin jumpsuit, I don't think there were many people in my category. So I came 14th in the Fortnite Boogie Down Challenge, and I won 6,000 V-Bucks and
really?
The disco emotes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
It's quite fun, isn't it?
It's amazing, yeah.
But you have taken I think it's really interesting what you're saying, that this isn't really, obviously you're introduced to the world of gaming in that professional way, through one of your son's passions.
Yeah.
But now it's become something that's very personal to you about. When you say you're trying to prove it to
myself, I think. Mm. Prove it to myself, yeah. Not to anyone else. I personally want to be up there at the same. I mean, I'm never going to quite be that tier one pro, but sort of maybe tier two, tier three. You know, up there being able to compete with all the others.
Amazing.
And not look completely stupid.
No, you hold your own.
Yeah.
And you're right, because the thing you can bring to the table that is completely unique will be your ability to strategize. Mm. Because when it comes to being pro and being in that top tier, I don't think everybody understands that that's really sort of late teens through to early 20s is when you're at your peak with your ability to, what is it, just simple reflexes.
It is, but you say that. I was at an event recently, DreamHack, was it? DreamHack, yes, over in Sweden. And another pro player, Nikov, asked me to do a challenge where you've got, like, the lights, you've got, like, little bells. Oh, no. You have, like, 4 balls, and then you have to, as the light comes up, you've got to press the light to see how fast you are. And I thought I'd be terrible at it. But he actually said that my results weren't that far off quite a lot, some of other pro players, and some of the pro players was actually worse than me. So reaction, I don't think it is, but I think it's just your brain works slower as you get older, doesn't it, sort of thing. So actually just being able to react quickly to something is a lot harder for me. Even doing things like admin, paperwork, that sort of thing is takes me longer now.
Yeah.
It is slower. I notice it, you know, sort of, even though I'm still multitasking and doing like about four or five different things and whatever, just being able to do things as quick as I used to do, like I do all the accounts work and everything, it just takes a little bit more time.
Yeah, and I suppose what we're really, I mean, obviously the fact that it's gaming is quite a quirky thing for, you know, for your generation. But when you, what you're talking about in terms of keeping your brain feeling young, keeping challenged, oiling all the stuff in there, keep on top of stuff, is actually something that could manifest in lots of ways, couldn't it?
Yeah. There's, you know, for just keeping you young and sort of being able to keep that brain from deteriorating and things and taking on new activities, whether it doesn't have to be Fortnite, sort of whatever, sort of taking on a new activity just keeps that brain working and keeps you young, really. And I love being around all the youngsters.
Yeah.
Like they sort of like, when I talk to my peers, like my girlfriends and sort of thing, they haven't got a clue what I'm talking about this time because... And someone said to me the other day, I've missed that generation gap because I still can chat to like 17. Most of my friends online are only 15 to 20s or something.
Yeah.
1920s. So it's a completely different world. It's quite interesting. I love it.
I think it's incredible. I mean, it's brilliant. And as I said at the beginning, I think it's really inspiring because I think... it's an interesting one because with a lot of gaming, I mean, certainly from my experience, a lot of it is fairly introverted in terms of the way you set it up and you're spending time on your own. But then through it, the confidence you can gain and finding your tribe and all of that kind of thing is really powerful. And for a lot of people, that is happening at that time in their life when they're younger and maybe they're at home, there's family life happening in one space and, you know, you've got a kid. I mean, this is very typical of a dynamic in our house. My eldest boy would always just take himself off and that would be his sort of safe space to go and game, to communicate with his peers, to chat with his mates. And it sort of runs along a fairly sort of typical arc of that time in your life. But actually, all those things, in the kernel of who we are and what resonates with us is there for the whole time, isn't it? So being able to recognise that and actually still give yourself that space and be able to... chat to people who are feeling the same as you, even if you're bridging that divide, is incredible.
Yeah.
Because what it is that resonates with you and those 17, 18 year olds will be something very similar, actually, at the heart of it.
Yeah.
So what do your girlfriends think about it all?
I mean, they're very pleased, obviously, of what I've achieved and everything, but they just don't understand it at all. So, like, they see me, like, whizzing around the world. Like, last year I went to Saudi and, you know, I've been to Tokyo and sort of America and Sweden and all these different places. So, and all thanks to Fortnite and gaming, et cetera, which is amazing to be able to travel and play is just insane, really. But, they're just pleased for me.
Yeah, it's
but
incredible.
Very pleased, but... don't also, quite understand it.
Well, also, that's your consultancy with the esports. That's you're actually the first gamer mum to ever have that position.
I can't think there are other parents that do game, but I can't really think of any in quite the same way that have become content creators and signed with an organization and things like that.
So, what does content creation involve? What's the actual
That's
work?
Basically just streaming and creating content which people then watch. So most teenagers or tend to not watch TV much these days. Everything is online.
Yeah, definitely.
And so there are different platforms that they can do it. So, for example, on gaming, the platform tends to be Twitch. There are now others that have started up, etc. So most people would would just watch you on Twitch, and then you'd get the viewers and, you know, etc. So that's what is meant by content creator. But then you might want to do, like, IRL content creation. So, for example... people like there's someone called Archie or there's someone called Your Fellow Arab, and they go out and actually they travel and create content that way. So they're actually live streaming, and I've done it as well. So when I'm at DreamHack and places, I will actually go around and do IRL streaming sort of thing. So you're actually going around talking to the players, watching what their film is. So people actually enjoy that. So.
Yeah. And so with the challenges, when you're saying, you know, you've got the goals of being part of the pro, and how is everything that you get up to totally self-motivated? Do you have to keep, be the one to set all those plans in action?
It's self-motivated by me, yes. Yeah.
And how does that come with it? There's a bit of pressure. I mean, anyone that's like sort of entrepreneurial, I guess there's a pressure.
There is. I mean, I, as my friends, my online friends, and my duo, I've got a duo, Jay, who has helped me a lot, is I get very upset very quickly if I'm not achieving everything as fast as I want to achieve. You know, I might do a tournament, and when you're playing at the high level, like I played a tournament the other day and I did badly in my books. I could very easily just give up almost, but it's keeping going, like, you know, just keeping yourself motivated. And they help me as well, very much so, sort of like, you know, it's just going to take time. Those other players have got 4 or 5 years ahead of you, whereas I've only got 2 years.
Yeah.
But I just want to achieve it quicker. And it's just, I can't wave a magic wand and all of a sudden I'm going to improve overnight. It is literally time.
Yeah. But that, yeah, and I suppose as well that frustration and impatience is part of the passion, isn't it? Because otherwise it matters.
Yeah.
You've made space for it in your life. And also, you know, this is another thing people might not realise is that, you know, it's a bona fide job, all of this stuff, you know. Is it actually, and I think certainly with you know, what you've been doing with Benji and his career, do you feel like people still don't quite understand, like it's almost like this whole other world?
Yeah, so that is one of the reasons I created the book Build It with Benji Fishy and Miss Savage. So that's co-authored with Johnny, who's Miss Savage's dad, and it's basically to explain to parents, or try to explain a little bit to parents, that there is a career out there for people. So it's, gaming has got a very bad reputation. But to understand that there are now transferable skills that they're learning sort of while they're gaming. So that leadership skills, communication, you know, there's a whole load of skills that they're learning that they can use in other careers.
Yeah.
So it could be that they just play for entertainment, mixing with their friends, etc., but then they go on and do other careers. But the esports world also, you know, you might want to do social media or go into marketing or go into videoing. There's a whole area, lots of different areas that they can work in.
Yeah.
And now the, certainly in the UK, the British Esports Association has teamed up with BTEC. So there's now esports courses at colleges for like 14 to 16 year olds and 16 to 18 year olds. Amazing. So
I didn't know that. That's amazing. Yeah,
they've been doing that for the last few years. So that's recognised.
So there you can do sort of design, like game design courses. I think that's been around for a while.
So then they could go from there to maybe doing something like game design at university or whatever. And what you tend to find is that when teenagers find something that they're very passionate about, so if it's gaming or something, so they're, if they're actually doing a course that they enjoy, then they're going to learn more.
Absolutely.
Or else they're not. So, you know, if there's no point, you know, them trying to do a business course when they're not busy, or an arc, do you know? So if they're, and then they cover a whole load of different topics in that. And also in America, so I'm working with COPE, which is the Coalition of Parents in Esports. And so in America, you can actually get full scholarships for esports out there. So all their like college fees would be paid, and they just represent their equivalent to university or
amazing
or whatever. So
I mean, I guess this is a really very fast moving landscape. I can remember going on a school camping trip probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and a lot of the parents, you know, my age and younger, actually, are quite a knee-jerk negative reaction when it comes to gaming. Mm. And I think, I mean, I get where it comes from, because the internet, so much of it is like the Wild West, you know, and it's finding its feet. And I think we've been taught as parents to be fearful of the idea that anybody could be talking to your kid and having their ear in a way that's private to you. That's obviously scary. And I remember when, so my eldest, I think, is the same age as Benji, maybe. He was born in April 2004.
Oh, same as Benji then,
Yeah, so that's cool. So yeah, going to be 19 in a little bit. And so when Sonny was really gaming, and it's something he's always loved, I remember saying to him, I've been told that these are the reasons why I should be worried about this.
Yeah.
So now I want you to tell me why I don't need to worry about those things. I want to hear it from you. And actually, for me, that was the way that we kind of found our feet with it. So I thought, well, he doesn't need me. Just, it's a bit like the equivalent of parents in the 60s, like, you know, you're not listening to that rock and roll music. You know, you've got to try and hope that you've instilled in your kids ways to navigate all of these things, right? And your instincts will see you right. There's always going to be the peripheral stuff, but at the heart of it, as you say, there's a lot of really important skills. But also, I suppose, it's a different thing as well when your child gets very, it's not just serious about it, but there's this breaking point where it's like, actually, we have to now make a decision about how we make this professional. So can you tell me a little bit about your experience with managing Benji and what was happening with him?
I mean, so going back to what you were saying about being concerned about them being online, I was, when Benji was younger, that was a big thing. So I always used to have him playing in like the main living room, and I could hear him talking and sort of thing. And because I've got an older son who's 7 years old, Charles, who's 7 years older, I used to have him playing with Benji so he could hear what the other, sort of like almost like monitoring sort of thing.
That's handy.
So that worked quite well for us.
And has Charles, did he stay in that role for quite a while, being sort of, I think, the very big brother?
The big brother, and and he taught Benji a lot from that aspect and sort of thing. So I was always knew that Benji could look after himself online, and he wasn't going to do it. So from a parent perspective, I trust him. And then obviously then went gaming himself. But what people don't understand about being a professional esports player is it's the equivalent to being, in terms that other parents would understand, being signed as a Premier League footballer for Arsenal or Liverpool. It's at that sort of level, right?
Yeah, that's a very good analogy.
To start with, it was the whole balancing thing. So it's what I say to it, it's like whenever your child is interested in a particular topic. So Benji used to do 10-pin bowling. He was actually really good at it and wanted to play for England. So you go along, don't you, sort of like to the various, you know, meet, you know, learning how to do it on Saturday morning or whatever, and then maybe you get coaches or whatever out, and then, you know, start going to the tournaments and things like that. So it doesn't matter whether you're in that, whether you're in music or something like that. If your child starts showing an interest in playing the piano and then starts getting really good at it, you're going to get lessons, aren't you, and sort of like perform and things. So it's no different from the esports world of gaming. So you're starting to play, and when Benji first started doing tournaments, the age limit was actually 16.
Okay, well, as in that's the age you had to be, the minimum.
To play Fortnite, to take part in Fortnite tournaments, it was always 16.
Okay.
And so he wasn't able to compete or anything. I knew he was always quite good. He always told me from a very young age that he wanted to be a professional esports player. So I knew that already. And so I was sort of like, okay, that's fine. But I didn't actually realise how good he was. And then what happened was in 2019, the World Cup got announced, Fortnite World Cup. And they then lowered the age limit to 13.
Okay. Is that what it still is now?
So it's still 13 in order to be able to compete. And then there was a series of qualifiers. And at that point, Benji had just won. It all happened within literally a week, 2 weeks, basically. So Benji played a tournament. He was duoing with Mr. Savage. So he played a tournament and they won first prize. So I was literally Sunday evening, laying in bed. Comes in to me about midnight because I knew he'd, you know, I was having to get up at like 5 a.m. But so I knew he was sort of like playing the tournament, but didn't really pay too much attention to it. And he comes in and goes, I've won first prize and I've won $10,000. And it was like, and he was 14 at the time. 14 at the time, it was February.
Wow.
So it was like, okay, all right. I was like, I was texting Charles at like midnight saying, he's just come first and won 10,000 and, you know, sort of.
Yeah.
And then it started becoming a little bit real.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So that happened. Mr. Savage was already signed with Energy Esports in America. So they had approached us. So we were already talking to them about potentially joining them as an org. They then went on to win a second tournament. And then literally within the week, World Cup got announced. And Benji got approached by about 7 different orgs. And so then we were in negotiations with the different orgs. To be fair, Benji did a lot of that negotiation himself.
Yeah, I'm sensing it. Like, I like the way when he was temping bowling, he's like, I want to play for England. And then it's like, No, it's Fortnite and I'm going to be one of the world best. Thank you very much.
So we then settled on, we went with Energy, who have been an amazing.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
So is this you sort of taking on the mantle of being a manager without really realizing that's what was happening?
Yeah.
You're just trying to help your son and thinking,
And
here's some
fun
stuff that gets a bit adult now.
Yeah.
Let's have a look over it.
Yeah.
And before you know it,
and
it's
then
like,
having to find an accountant, find a lawyer.
Yes.
That specialized in esports and things. Then World Cup got announced. It was 10 weeks of qualifying. And only the top 100 from around the world then went to New York with first prize being $3 million to the winner.
Blimey.
And if you qualified through to the finals, you were guaranteed 50,000. So solos was 50,000, duos were 50,000. So if you qualify for both, you were guaranteed 100,000. So fortunately, Benji qualified in week 1 and 2. For both solos and duos, it was like,
wow.
Oh my god, I was sitting in here, I didn't really know much about Fortnite. I didn't know how to watch Fortnite in those days. All I knew that was Benji was playing. And at one point he was, something like 1,000 or whatever. And it's only like the top three, I think, that went through, I think it was. And I think, oh no, it's going to have to be another week or something, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden I was watching someone's stream, Mr. Savage's stream, and someone comes in chat and goes, Benji's first. And it's like, oh my God, okay. And I'm texting my son Charles saying, he's first now, you know. And then I didn't know what was happening. The leaderboards weren't really updated. Everything was delayed. And a lot of these tournaments always go down to the last game.
Oh.
The very last game, which would be the 10th game. You never know what things can change dramatically as to how they do in that last 10th game. And so I didn't know whether he was winning, losing, whatever, really.
Yes.
And all I remember is going outside his door and I could hear him tapping on his keyboard. And the key, that meant that he was still alive.
Wow.
There was silence, like, because he was, when Benji is concentrating.
You're not even allowed to cough.
You sort of thing. So I'm going outside and he's still alive, okay. So the nearer it gets to like the 20...
I'm stressed for you in this conference.
The nearer it gets to like 20 minutes or whatever into 25 minutes, which is the game length, you know that he's going to be into end game, so therefore he's sort of thing. And then he came out and told me that he qualified and it was like, oh my God. It was like, just gave him a big hug. I didn't even want to believe... I don't know, my brain didn't want to believe it. It was just like, that's insane. They qualified in week one and then they went on and qualified in week two for... Amazing. So at that point, he was guaranteed 100,000. I had always 100% prioritised education. That was my number one. They went to fairly good schools. So if you're in this area, they went to like private schools, prep school. And then he'd got into Reeds in Cobham, which is no mean feat. That is actually quite a hard school to get into.
Yeah, exams and,
The whole exams, common entrance, it was like, this is, you know, you need to be keeping up the creep. But at the time when he qualified for World Cup, I wanted to be able to give him the opportunity to make the most of that.
Yeah.
Because he was signed with an org, so he was getting a salary.
Yeah, it felt solid. It felt like an opportunity.
Taking that opportunity. And so I went to the school to see whether there was any way we could reduce his... He could be given time off to be able to still do some sort of education, but to, you know, still practice, etc. Because they used to have games on a Saturday. You meant to be there rugby on a Saturday or cricket or Wednesday evenings. They wouldn't get back to quite late because they're doing all their sport.
Yeah.
And I wanted him to be able to compete. So having chatted to them, they do have like tennis camps. Mm-hmm. So some of their players play, you know, do the tennis tours, etc. So what they tend to do is give them like a week off or 2 weeks to be able to practice and do the camps. And then they come back to school. But the issue with Benji, the issue with that is it's just like a 2 weeks every term.
Yeah, so what's the frequency?
Whereas Fortnite was constant.
So is there a tournament happening all the time somewhere
there's
at the moment?
Tournaments there was tournaments all the time. Yeah. And he needed practice. And a lot of them, if he was playing sort of like NAs, not finished till 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah, I was
and therefore,
say the hours.
He's tired, can't get up for school the next day. So I then made the decision, which was really, really hard, given the fact that I'd gone to so much effort to get him into the good schools, to homeschool him.
And how old was he then?
15, yeah. So it was the first year of GCSEs.
I mean, that's pretty huge, isn't it? Because that's a big, that's like a defining point in his life. That'll always be a bit like a crossroad, and you went on one path rather than the other, you know?
So I wanted to be able to give him the opportunity, because in my books, you can always go back to education.
Yeah.
You know, at a later stage, I went to do a BTEC course at Nescot. I wanted to go into AV, the world of AV. And so I did sort of my Cisco and networking thing. So I went back actually with lots of 17, 18-year-olds doing this BTEC course. So I know you can do education at a later stage. It's not... I know normally it's like 14 to 16 you do GCSEs, 16 to 18 you do A-levels.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, you can do them whenever you want.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think also, you know, at the age he was then, and also with Charles, it sounds like the three of you are very much thinking together. And it's what happened with your family. And this is where he found himself. And I'm just sort of thinking to myself about all, you know, the other parents and when they actually understand, no, the stakes are really high and he's competing on a global platform and he's really good. And I bet they really stopped in their tracks and they found out as well that you know, it's all financially very solid. It's not it's not just playing Fortnite till two, and then, oh, you know, I got myself, you know.
So I think, you know, it's sort of actually, like, you know, like Benji did rugby as a child and cricket and things like that. So what, you know, or you go to stage school or something.
Yeah.
There comes a point where, you know, your child's interested in something, but there's a realisation that maybe they're not going to make that, you know, they're not going to be on that West End stage if they're doing singing and, you know. It's going to be a hobby. Maybe they can do sort of like amateur sort of type dramatics and things and whatever, but maybe they're never quite going to make it, or you're playing rugby or cricket, but you're not going to make counties and you're not going to necessarily be good enough to play for England.
Yeah.
So as parents, you have to judge that, I think.
Yeah, that's tricky, isn't it?
And, you know, support them as much as you can, but also they've got to have a plan B.
But
as Benji always said, you've always got to have a plan B. If that doesn't work, you know, you've still got to. I would have probably ideally have kept his education up and done this, but I knew that there was no way that would happen.
Yeah, but so, also...
I mean, we did buy home education and things, but
also, he could have done it for a year and then it doesn't... It's not it's not the right shape for you, and then you go back and he goes down a year, but things happen, you know? There's lots of unexpected things that can happen, and then there's other things where you think we're taking a bit of a risk, but...
I mean, I saw my son, my older son, and I think actually if I hadn't have seen this, that maybe I wouldn't have been so resilient. So Charles dropped out of school when he was like 17, 18 and went through a little bit of a difficult stage. But then subsequently he went back and did BTEC, then went on to uni, and his passion is music.
Yeah, I heard that. Jazz guitar.
Jazz guitar and things. And so then he got his degree. He got a first at uni in jazz. And so if I hadn't have seen him sort of like miss out on education maybe for a couple of years, sort of like didn't do his GCSEs till much later or whatever, but then went on and achieved it sort of, you know, much later then, maybe I wouldn't have been so open to it. But, sort of paved the way a little bit from that perspective.
Well, I think that's what happens, isn't it? Sometimes something happens with your kids and it kind of slightly reshapes part of you as a parent and how you react to things. And ultimately, you don't really win many prizes for sort of not really listening to what your kids are telling you. You know, you can feel like you're doing the right thing in terms of the expectation of that age and what's going on with their peers. And it's always a bit scary when there's, you know, a sort of a trajectory that all they're all on. And up until that age, most kids do sort of follow the same suit.
Yeah.
I think that teenage bit is where different strands start emerging. Mm. It can be, you know, they go through a tricky time. It can be that, as you say, there's a skill set that's emerging. Mm. I mean, I was actually thinking in a lot of ways with Benji, you really lucked out because it could have been sports. I'm sure there are a lot of... parents that would identify a lot with what you're talking about if a kid shows a real aptitude for sport, but then you'd have to take them somewhere.
Yeah.
You've got to be up early. You could be asleep while he's ready.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is great.
I know. I used to know sort of like swimmer people some of his that just swimming.
Like six or
literally
something.
they're in the pool at like 5-6 in the morning, aren't they, sort of thing. And then you're taking them to all these and the same happened with actually bowling, 10-pin bowling.
Ah.
So I used to take him up to Dunstable. So he used to get coached by Andy Penny and John Zeedle, who are like England coaches.
Amazing.
So I used to take him up every couple of weeks or every month to be coached by them. And then he would do the tournaments. So you'd be travelling around the country doing the tournaments. I even took them to Belgium to play and things.
Oh, wow.
So And we were looking at scholarships in America because tenpin bowling is Tim Mack and some of those other players in America is much bigger, and you can actually get scholarships over there, just like you can for esports. So we were, I was already looking at all that sort of side of things. But then what happened was that Benji got Osgood Schlatter's, which is like you get pain in the knees. Yes. And he also got Sever's disease, which is where you get pain, like growing pains also in your ankles and things. So Benji, even though he was mad on cricket, he was really, really good at cricket. And like he would play rugby. But after he comes off the rugby pitch or after he came up and he sat down, you would actually think he was a 70-year-old. He could hardly walk.
Oh, that must have been so hard to see that.
And then also, like with tenpin bowling, his back started hurting as well.
Oh, wow.
So because he's a double-handed bowler, you've got to bend down low to get the... And so, therefore, he had to stop sports for, like, literally a year. So that also... you know, from not doing that. So that competitive world that he would do, have maybe gone on and done tenpin bowling or cricket or whatever, got refocused into...
So it wasn't his choice that stopped. It was actually just because physically it was causing
He couldn't do it. He could not do sports
for
like a year.
And how is that for you? How's that for you, seeing him having to let go of something he's put so much into and had real aptitude for?
Yeah, that was hard because I knew he was good, especially with tenpin bowling, etc. That was his passion, and so therefore to see him not being able to do that, I mean, I know, you know, Ben just said, okay, it's just tenpin bowling or something, but at the time it was actually very real. He was practicing a lot, and as I say, we were putting in a lot of effort to, or as a parent I was putting in a lot of effort to try and give him the coaching and everything that he needed to be able to succeed, and then all of a sudden that gets taken away. You know, it's a bit like maybe if you're a singer as a boy, like my brother used to be really good at singing. So he was like head chorister. He sang in, you know, he was soloist in Noah's Flood at the Ashcroft Theatre and things. All of a sudden his voice broke.
Oh, yes, you hear about that. Yeah.
So it's a, you know, all of a sudden then your career is taken away from you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because your voice isn't as good as it used to be. Not so much with the girls because it doesn't really maybe affect it quite
so much. Yeah, no, the voice breaking for boys can be, that's a sadly very common thing. They go from having these beautiful falsettos and then it's just simply not there anymore because your voice box has actually changed. So.
So it's the same sort of like from a, or your, I like one of his big friends, good friends, Reese, does rugby. But he keeps getting, you know, get an injury or something, and then all of a sudden, that's it. You've got 6 months out, or even a professional footballer.
I know. Yeah, and it changes the course of your life if you've put hours and hours and hours into that thing, and you can see the arc of where you're headed, and there's an injury or something like
but
that.
But the same with esports. I mean, you get repetitive strain injury and things like that. So there are quite a lot of the top players that do get repetitive. So Benji's constantly, so one of the things he is now, he's got a personal trainer, so he's doing his exercising, he's got a mental coach that sort of works with him, etc. So he's got a team of people around him that are helping him to
and has that got easier in terms of what it's like to raise someone who's basically doing something professional like that when they're still young? Is there much more like a clear guideline on how to support them with all that stuff now, do you think?
I don't think there is for parents, no. It's and that's one of the things that I'm trying, and COPE is trying to help with, is to explain to parents how to help them and sort of like create that longevity sort of thing for their career, etc. But also I get lots of, like, maybe their parents don't understand how to do the business side of things.
Intimidating as well, I would have
And thought. Then sometimes as 15-year-olds, they're trying to do it themselves. They don't understand what they're doing because their parents don't support them in esports, or they don't support them in the career. And therefore, they're trying to muddle through themselves, etc. So trying to sort of like help them as well.
Yeah. And may I ask, has it always been quite straightforward with what the family have decided to do with the winnings? Because coming into, you know, 5 and 6 figure sums when you're a teenager is not, that's not the
typical. I've always been business orientated. I used to have my own company, West Point Training, which was a computer training and management company. So I've sort of like come from the world of business. So therefore, as soon as Benji started earning, it was like, okay, we've got to start a limited company. We've got to, you know, get everything in place. And so we haven't really known quite what to do with it. So it's sort of like being sitting there. I mean, one of the things was that we wanted to be able to buy the house rather than stay renting the whole time. But that in itself is a challenge, because when you've got a company, you can only take so much out as dividends, etc. So it's not really your money. It's in the business thing. And then, so there was lots of restrictions, and that has taken us 3 or 4 years to be able to achieve to the point where we've actually now purchased the house, which is just amazing.
Well, it is amazing. And before we started recording, you were telling me that, you know, there's your family have been through a lot already and had to show extreme resilience. And it sounds like, I mean, even before I knew very much about you, and I was thinking about the dynamic of you with your two boys, and it sounds like a lot of your relationship was forged in a bit of a fire, really, because you really sadly lost your boy's dad, your husband, when you were saying Benji was only not even a year old.
Yeah, so he, David sadly got esophagus cancer, and literally it was very quick, within a year, basically. And so Charles was 7, and I was pregnant with Benji at the time. And so we also had been through, so rerun it a little bit. So we had a business which was successful, a training company, and then we sold that. And the we were meant to be able to get the money from it, but we didn't get the full money for it, for the sale of the business. And then we were locked out of training for sort of, as part of that contract, for sort of like a year or something. So we didn't get the money for it. We went into like recruitment. So David's background was always sort of like IT, telecommunications. He used to be a salesman within that world of telecommunications. So we were placing like pre-sales and salespeople, basically. But that had a big crash. It sort of like crashed the market. So we then went into recruiting lawyers, which was okay, but sort of like starting the whole new career. But the fact that we didn't get the money from the business, we was trying to start a new business, etc. Literally everything went wrong, and we were at the point of pretty much going bankrupt. So we lost the house that we really loved, and ended up renting for a year. And the whole concept was, during that year, we would then try and start up another business. But David became ill. So David was very much the salesperson, and I was like behind the scenes sort of doing the other, you know, admin paperwork. But obviously he lost his motivation for selling to a certain extent, and then he became ill and couldn't do that. And so at the end of the day, sadly, he passed away. So Benji was about 8 months old. So it was in November, and Charles was 7. And literally, we were at the point of literally being on the streets, homeless, with nothing. So I remember going to the council and saying, you know, could you house us? And, you know, they've got this point system. I didn't even have enough points to get housed. But then they only put you into B&Bs, don't they, sort of thing. And I just, like, sort of thing. So so what happened was, my parents helped support us. And then they said, you know, try and claim housing benefit and find somewhere to live, private. So we actually found this house, because we wanted to live by the river again. So we came here, managed to get housing benefit. I then managed to find a job. I've got a very close circle of friends. So Joyce is like the equivalent to the godmother, but she's now family. So she was looking after them, helping so that I could go out to work and things. And literally then sort of started building up from literally scratch again. Wow. From nowhere.
That's extraordinary. I'm so sorry you had to go through all that. That sounds like you're just having to just think about surviving, really, just one foot in front of the other.
It is, very much. I mean, fortunately, the school were very supportive. So they were supportive to Charles. So let him finish, gave him a bursary, let him finish his education. And then when he went to his senior school, David was a Freemason. So the Masonic Trust actually, Masonic Trust for Girls and Boys, came in and actually paid their tuition fees.
Oh, wow.
Which for both Charles and Benji. But then they also helped me with like whatever activities, like for example, Benji doing say piano and saxophone and 10-pin bowling, they would actually pay for his lessons and things.
Mm.
And so, yeah, they used to give me like a termly allowance for them and things. So without them, they probably wouldn't have been able to do the things that, you know,
yeah,
those extra lessons and things.
And I'm thinking that it's almost insurmountable to imagine having a 7-year-old and a little baby and dealing with grief, but also just the actual struggle of just the side of it that's to do with how do you keep a roof over your heads and keep things moving.
Yeah, so I mean, it was literally without my parents. I mean, at one point I was doing car boot sales to try and earn enough money to then buy food and things that week and things and whatever. So it was a big struggle.
And if you've had that experience, are there things about it that kind of forever influence the way you see the world after it?
I mean, yes, I guess so. I mean, you value more what you don't realise what you've got until you've lost it to a certain extent. You take things more for granted. And so I think you just value what you've got and sort of actually now building it back up to a point where, you know, okay, we're okay now.
Yeah, purchasing we're your okay. own house is actually
I know, not
huge,
having to worry about, you know, having to move again.
Yeah.
Because moving actually onto an island is so difficult. We move by boat. Literally moved by boat. Literally, our friends Chris and Jules have got a Dutch bar or sort of like a barge sort of thing.
Yeah.
And literally because we moved from one island to another, literally all the furniture was on the back of the boat. And literally it came down here
big.
And literally
you've got a lot of wooden furniture in here as well. It's like
literally it was so and then if you saw it, you've just got this enormous barge with, so instead of going on in a removal van, the removal van is the barge. And then the rest of it had to be walked across the island that we couldn't get on there. It's moving onto islands is not the easiest of things to do.
But you're here now. Doesn't need to move anywhere anymore.
Yeah, the thought of having to move, I mean, we've had to move like four times like that. It's just so stressful to me.
Yeah, and I should imagine being able to have a very solid base is actually worth more than worth concern, really, isn't it?
It is for me, yes.
It's really significant. So. But also, I think, you know, it sounds like you've had to also, when you were saying that David was the more extrovert and the salesperson and you were more in the background, so that means you also have to work on your own confidence. When the other person is gone, you've got to then step forward.
I mean, I had the training business was my business, so I started that. So I was out there training people, but David then came on board as the sales and took it to... And it was quite interesting, actually, because that female-male sort of thing, when we went into business meetings, I was obviously 15 years younger than David, but went into business because David was more the sales. Even though it was my business, they would always talk to David and the male. Do you know, you get sidetracked. Even though it's your business and everything, you got
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not of any interest sort of thing. It's So having to sort of, yes. So I used to let him do it. That's fine. He was very much worth the sales time, and I did all the sort of like training, sorting out the computers because he wasn't so technical, etc. From setting up that. And it worked well. Yeah. I mean, being with someone, your husband 24/7 can be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
But we split it separately, so we weren't in each other's pockets and things like that. And but I've always been a workaholic. Absolutely. I always work, like, have always worked since I was 17, sort of like 7 days a week, 12-hour days, etc. Yeah, I've always, and like, I was listening to some of your other podcasts, but like I came out of hospital having had Charles, and literally he came into the office and was there behind my desk, sort of like I was, so I'm working like literally the same days that he came out of hospital and things.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So that, and then it wasn't until, so he's there and obviously training, and then he starts crying, you know, so delicates are there. And so then we got a few complaints that he was crying, you know, sort of they couldn't concentrate on their training courses. And that's how Joyce came along. So Joyce, we brought on board as, or she was there sort of working in the offices, but she was also a childminder. So she then took Charles, and that's been, you know, she's been helping, being part of the family. She now comes on holiday. She used to come on holiday with us to help look after Charles and Benji, you know, sort of.
No, she sounds amazing.
Cheers. Yeah,
as you say, like family now.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it, when those people become, like, so integral to how everything functions, and you can't really imagine life without those people, and they're part of your world. And I was thinking as well, when you say about the meetings where people would be talking to David and you'd just be thinking, they should really be talking to me, but I'm just going to let it slide.
Yeah.
But I think there's actually a bit of a superpower in being underestimated sometimes and people not knowing what you're capable of. As I was listening to an interview you did where you said you've walked, literally walked across hot coals, not once, not twice, but four times. And I love the fact that people might not know that when they meet you. That's an amazing thing to have that in your armory.
Yes. Yes. No, I Tony Robbins actually helped a lot. So both from a confidence perspective. And also from a, like, for example, when David passed away, I was lost. I didn't really know what to do, sort of thing. You keep going because of the children, but I found myself like crying all the time and things and whatever. So I actually went on a Tony Robbins course to get my head right, sort of, because I felt that people were expecting me to be sad all the time and everything. And so it was like, get my head around the fact that it's okay to be happy.
Yeah.
David would want me to continue and sort of like,
absolutely. And also, if you're grieving, things, no one has the right to dictate what that grief looks like.
I know,
no,
but it's sort of, yeah, people's perspectives and sort of things. But yes, walking on the hot coals, the whole concept is that if you can do that and you didn't think it was possible, just think what else is possible that you could actually achieve. But yes, it's still hard though. It's still hard, but yes. Yeah,
but that's the whole point, is it's something you don't.
Yeah. I did another course of his recently.
Yeah.
About within a year, was it something? About a year, where, because obviously you're doing it in house and he's got these, you know, setups, you can't walk across hot coals, but he gets, you get wood. Mm-hmm. And you do the karate chop of the wood.
Oh, wow.
So I did that. And I remember doing, I was literally had the two chairs sort of like sitting here and sort of a piece of wood in front and got the video sort of it. And I honestly didn't think I was going to be able to do it, sort of thing. But yeah, it worked first time. And it was like, oh my God.
Wow.
I've actually achieved it.
There's an inner strength. That's brilliant.
But I like, the courses take you out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
So I actually like pushing myself.
Yes, I'm getting a sense of that.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. I think I'm always excited by talking to people where they've sort of just quietly getting on with shifting the landscape of what's expected. And the fact that you've got this goal of, you know, working for another 18 months, 2 years to get to a goal on Fortnite, I think it's brilliant. And along the way, I mean, have you had some sort of funny conversations with, I don't know, other parents at the school gate kind of thing about the path that your family have gone on? Because it must be quite satisfying when in the end it actually is all working towards something.
I think because the children are older now. I mean, Charles is going to be 26 soon.
Yes, no, not
Charles
now.
19. That, I know they were young. I think the people that knew us, it wasn't so much of an issue, but it made sense for what we were doing. And I'm not in that circle of parents as such, but I do try a lot of the players maybe do come to me and say, can you talk to my parents? Because they don't understand about esports. So I have had conversations with parents about that, sort of like online, as opposed to at the school gate, so to speak. But hopefully I am sort of like a role model to them as well, to them as well, so that, you know, they can sort of like come and see what I've achieved. And it's not just all about gaming and the fact that there are other careers that they can do. And as I've said before, like the transferable skills and things.
What's their main worry, do you find, with the parents?
It's just because gaming has got such a bad reputation. So they're just online the whole time, and they're not mixing with their friends. They're not seeing, you know, typical, they're not touching grass, so to speak, you know.
Seeing much daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I actually think COVID helped with that a little bit because parents weren't, you saw lots of online classes coming up.
Yeah.
And so also things like they were meeting pubs. You'd have like pub, they would all be drinking, and they would go on via Zoom or whatever other different app, you know, and they would all be socialising, but online.
Yeah.
Now that is what the children do all the time.
Exactly.
But they weren't aware of that.
Yeah, and it kept them in touch with people as well.
So they were keen. So I think from that it helped the perspective that they are actually socialising and meeting with their friends and everything.
Absolutely.
And things, but it just online as opposed to. And then you've got like LAN events and things, and, you know, where they can actually then meet up in person and things and whatever. So
no, I think as well, when I know that with Sonny, for him I think going online and gaming has given him access to a much broader social group than he was. He wasn't finding as many like-minded souls at school. But that gave him a much bigger friendship group. And then sometimes it'd be, he'd say, oh, I've got so-and-so coming over. They're actually from Sweden, but they're coming to London, and we're gonna meet up.
Yeah.
And at first you'd be thinking, well, I hope they're really who they say they are. But I think you have to learn to trust your kids as well.
I mean, most of them, yes. I mean, there's a program called Discord, so all the kids tend to use Discord and things. So you can do face cam and sort of like, I mean, as parents, you could, I would suggest you try and get more involved in what your children are interested in. So, I mean, the people that there are quite often streaming and they've got face cams on, or you could ask to meet them in a group and chat to them, and they can actually do video.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Like that, I think being involved is a good idea. Playing the game with them, sitting down with them. It's funny, it's reminded me of this time where he's not there anymore, but there was a deputy head, because obviously having older kids and younger kids, my little ones, they all know all about, particularly Fortnite, actually. I think that's the one thing that they, even my four-year-old will have a go. I know it's not the age guideline, but there was a time when I think my nine-year-old and my six-year-old were playing a bit because of my elder boy. And at school, my nine-year-old got told, no more Fortnite at the junior school, no talking about it, no playing it.
Really?
And so my boy said to the head, this guy, oh, but my mum says it's okay. And the head said, if your mum said that we're going to rob a bank on Saturday, would you do that? So Kit came home from school and told me this. And I said, firstly, I'm your mum. If I've decided as a family we're robbing a bank on Saturday, absolutely, that's what we're doing. Secondly, that's illegal. Like, you can't compare one with the other.
Yeah.
I was like, what a ridiculous thing. But ultimately, yes, if we're robbing a bank, we're robbing a bank. If I'm that woman,
get your balaclava,
off we go.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
That was brilliant compared to playing a bit of Fortnite to robbing a bank.
I know.
Fair enough, Mr. Connell, if you're listening.
Yeah. Yeah,
sometimes you've got to question authority, that's okay. I think you're absolutely right about if you're worried about what your kids are doing, I think involving yourself, and that counts for loads of things actually, because it's so vital about the communication. And do you feel like, how do your kids feel about you now being so engrossed in Fortnite, particularly as your Fortniting son is not Fortniting anymore?
I know, he's really happy for me, but he actually did, he was online the other day when my cup got announced, and it was like, it's really weird, my mum's all like coming up, like, oh, you can go in game and you can see, like, the Mama Benji Fishy Creator Cup. It's like, it's really weird.
I hope he tells you sometimes, can you please just get out of this room and see some daylight? Just go and get some vitamin D,
Mum. We need to reverse it, because I'm still having to, like, I might be playing a game.
Yeah.
Or in a tournament.
Yeah.
And Ben, you'll come in, can I have food now? I can't. I'm in the middle of a game, you know? Or I'm streaming and sort of like, streaming's not too bad. I can sort of like maybe put something else on so they could see something, and then I can go and quickly put something in the oven, and then sort of like 20 minutes later I've got to put the timer on and I've got to get it out. So it's quite difficult sort of like balancing it. With that, but we make it work.
I'm sure you do. And do you get good broadband on your island? How's your Wi-Fi?
We had to have special line put in.
Oh wow, cool!
Yeah, they originally quoted 17,000, but we got it for 10,000. We about 10,000. We had to ended up paying. They had to dig up the whole road, so we've got like a dedicated line.
Wow!
Yeah, the internet that was here would not have been good enough. No,
but that's an investment in the future. You've made
that you can sort of stream and things.
So how long ago did you do that? A few years back now?
When he qualified for World Cup. But it took over 6 months, 6 to 8 months, and a lot of things to actually get, because they actually had to, like, put the line all the way across the river.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But it works. Is it really good now?
It's not bad. Well.
Not bad.
It's 100 up and down, but my older son, who lived in Hendon.
Yeah.
Actually, through Virgin, got better internet than we've got here.
Well, it's funny, you can go for the A grade, and it's always it's never completely perfect with the blooming Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
I've just only got two more questions for you, and one of them is: as I was leaving my 10-year-old, he's off school today, and I said, "What questions have you got?" And he said, "How would you recommend that he improves his viewer count for things that he uploads online?"
Just to make it more interesting,
really, isn't it? he does things
so like YouTube and things.
Yeah.
That can be a difficult one. I mean, having the right tags on there.
Oh yes.
So I would say maybe what I used to do was you can put different add-ins into your browsers, but it allows you to then look at the keywords from, say, a YouTube video or something.
Okay.
So maybe take a video that's doing really well and look and see what tags that they're using, and maybe try copying some of those tags. He'd be too young for TikTok or anything like that or whatever.
Yeah, he's not on that.
So he can't do that, but...
No, this is YouTube, and he has to wear a mask because I told him he can't have his face because he's 10.
Mm.
And most of his videos...
That makes it quite hard, actually, thing. It's sort of...
He's hoping for a million subscribers so then he can do an unmasking.
Oh, right, okay.
we're a little way off.
Okay, that might be that might be a little bit...
It's really cute. Off. His videos are mostly him doing things like trying... the other one, he tried some Prime. Do you know about Prime? Yes, yes, of course you do. Yes. And my kit... sold Ray a bottle of Prime that he bought for £2 for 20 quid, and then Ray did a video trying this Prime sort of underneath his mask.
Yeah. I mean, there are videos. Benji and Charles used to do videos like of them doing like playing snooker and things when they were younger and sort of thing. They are sort of like out there, sort of, yes.
Well, it's a good idea about the tags though. I'm gonna relay that because that sounds practical and achievable. Yeah, no, I like that. That'll work for me. And the other question, can you do all the Fortnite dances?
No. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
We're not going to do them.
No.
Just in privacy.
No. Actually, even Benji got asked to do those when he was at World Cup. They or when they go for like media day, they wanted them to do a dance and things for like so they could show on screen or something. That he doesn't do that either. No, I can't. I wouldn't mind learning a couple so that I could actually. Yeah. But I'd need to learn them and practice them first before I do. But then they're actually really simple ones. But
No, I think the only one we can do in our house mainly is that loser one where you kick your legs around. That's about it.
Yeah.
There may be a couple of disco ones.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I know I did want to ask you how, when Benji's competing and he doesn't go the way he wants, how do you parent through seeing your kid very disappointed if he's a very competitive person?
Actually, funny enough, the parents, certainly when I talk to Johnny, Miss Savage's dad, Martin will act in the same way. I mean, you've just got to leave them.
Yeah, give them space.
You just cannot talk to them. There is no point going there, giving them a hug, saying, oh, I'm really sorry, you didn't do well. And it's just go away. Just go away. Yeah. Literally, he will probably go to bed, switch off everything. Especially if it's a big tournament like FNCS, he has, you know, they haven't done really well or something, whatever. And yeah, just literally leave them. Don't mention it at all.
No.
And then eventually they'll come out of it and sort of like, and then just don't mention it. It's okay. Just as if it hasn't happened. And he sort of like reframes himself. It's quite, you know, they do. He reframes himself and sort of like finds that inner motivation to be able to then, okay, we'll go again sort of thing.
I guess anybody that's involved in something competitive has got to develop that, haven't they? They've got to find a mindset of how to deal with that because it's part of it.
One of my favourite moments is, so Benji's had lots of disappointments. They got through to grand finals, FNCS, you know, especially in season X, they were meant to win, but they got griefed and Mex came in and they never won it sort of thing. So they've got to like finals and they've been contested, hasn't gone their way, but they did DreamHack. Benji and Martin, Miss Savage did DreamHack and they won it. And literally the last, like when they're trying to find out whether they won, and Benji's reaction was, like, I think we've won it. Sort of, no, we've won it. And literally he was almost crying because he was so happy that he's actually won a tournament. And then that was like, oh, my God, you've achieved, you know, okay, you haven't won FNCS, but, you know, you've actually, it meant so much to him to win it sort of thing. And actually, like, tomorrow getting to actually play with Benji and Miss Savage is so special to me. It's like all my Christmases and birthdays come at once.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
That's lovely. And is it okay if he beats you?
Oh, we're playing as a team together.
Oh, fine.
That's fine. I'm relying on them to win.
I see.
No. I'm getting carried by those two.
Harnessing the power.
Yeah. They're going to do the carry.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I wish you all the best with the tournament tomorrow, the cup tomorrow.
Thank you.
I think what you're doing is awesome. And
I appreciate
it. I'm sure you'll be there where you want to be.
And
the time frame you set is going to be good.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
See, isn't that an amazing story? So cool. But also, thank you hugely to Anne for being so open and just for sharing her life with me, her life story. I thought it was an incredible story, and I've thought about her subsequently. And as I said in my intro, I just love the fact that, you know, she's embraced something that's, she sort of surprised herself, but then it's become a big part of her life and it means something to her. And she's got ambition within the gaming world. There's things she wants to achieve and she's pushing herself. And I think that's, I think it's wonderful. I really, really love that. Meanwhile, I'm procrastinating. I've got to go back to the, packing. And I'm just going to forget something. And it's just whether or not it's something really big or something really small. Let's hope it's something really small. The kids are giving me a list of what they want me to bring and it's quite extensive. I just hope I sleep okay. The thing is, it's absolutely boiling this weekend. The forecast for tomorrow is ridiculous. It's supposed to be like 27 or 28 degrees or something daft. But the nights always get cold, don't they? But you know what? No matter what happens tomorrow during the day on the campsite, by the time I get to the Cambridge Festival in the evening, after I sing Lionel Richie, that is going to make everything A-OK all night long. Oh, yeah. And in the meantime, thank you very much. I'm trying to think, who is coming up next week? Oh, yes, I know who I'm hoping it is next week. Oh, I can't tell you, though, because it's got to go through a couple more processes before it's done. But let me tell you, in the last week, I've had not one, not two, but about four more people that I've asked, I've approached, names you all know, I think, who've all said yes to doing the podcast. You know, it's just a complete joy. We're nearly at episode flipping 100. I mean, mind blown, really. In fact, I'm pretty sure in a couple of weeks, it's the third birthday of the podcast. Wowzers. Thank you so much for being here with me. And honestly, I know I always say this, but I really do read every single comment if you leave it, I don't know, under the Facebook post or the Instagram post or on Twitter, or if you do it on the, you know, wherever you find your podcasts, if you do it on Apple, where they have the ability to put posts of, you know, comments. I read them all. If there's people you suggest, if there's feedback from episodes I've done before, if there's people you really liked, it's really nice. It's really nice to hear it. It's nice for me. It's nice for my producer, Claire. But I think it's also really nice for the guests, because really, they're the ones that are so generous with their time and their knowledge and their wit and their wisdom and all of that stuff. So yes, basically, thank you. If you feedback, I do actually notice and it does matter. So thank you very much. And wish me luck for camping. That's all I can say. And I will see you on the other side. All right, lots of love. Be good. Bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.